Good morning, church. Smile. Jesus loves you. Amen. I invite you to stand up for a word of prayer and then the reading of the word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are so grateful to you today that you have given us this opportunity to meet together and to share your word. Lord, I commit myself into your able hands. May I be an instrument in your hands, O God. May your people hear that which you want them to hear. And at the end of this sermon, O God, may your name be glorified. May your word go out to pierce through every bone and marrow. May you convict someone. May you encourage someone. May you lead someone, O God, to live a life that is worthy of the gospel. We pray this as we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to minister to every heart as we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let us open together. We read from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, from verse 21. It's written to 28, but I read all through 30 because there are only two verses to the end. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet, which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Praise the Lord this morning. I just want to make an introduction. This month of international or expatriates, I thank God so much for the church giving the expatriates an opportunity to participate in the services of this church and giving us one full month where we can take charge of the service, as my brother William has just said. And the theme of this month has been given to us as the essence of Christianity. And as I searched to know what the essence of Christianity is, it's basically living a Christian life, living after Christ. Being a Christian is being like Christ. And living a Christian life is not an easy task. It involves a lot of pain. It involves a lot of love, showing one another love. And Jesus summed this in two most important commandments in the book of Mark and also in the book of Luke. In Mark 12, 28 to 34, he said, "This is the most important commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your souls and with all your mind and with all your strength." And the second commandment is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these two. So that is the essence of true Christianity. It involves love. And that love is not simple love. It is tough love. It is brave. It is strong. It is committed. It is demonstrative and it is caring. And it involves action. So that in short is the essence of Christianity, the theme of this month. Now for today's service is titled a life worthy of the gospel. And the gospel is good news. The good news that Jesus came from heaven to earth to reconcile humanity to himself, to reconcile humanity that had fallen to himself. And the book we have read, the book of Philippians, was written by Paul, the Apostle Paul, to the church in Philippi. Paul was in prison at the time. And from my studies in school, I studied a course called Prison Epistles. It happened that while Paul was in prison, he wrote four epistles. He wrote four books, one of them being Philippians, the other one is Colossians, then we have Ephesians, then we have also the book of Philemon. And why did Paul write this to the Philippians? Paul was concerned about the church in Philippi. This is a congregation that he had established on one of his missionary trips to Philippi. And that congregation was flourishing. But at the time when Paul was in prison, the Bible says somewhere that I will strike the shepherd and all the sheep will scatter. When Paul was in prison, he was going through pain. And this pain was not only the fact that he was in prison, physically prevented from doing anything and all the other ills that go on in prison. He was also at pain about the church, the Christian congregation that he had established in Philippi, the Philippians. They were going through persecution and there was a threat that they might start receiving false teachings, heresy in the church. And he was concerned that the church might scatter. Not only that, there were internal wrangles in the church. People were struggling and striving for positions, and this was a threat to the church. And so you can see that both Paul and the Philippians were going through pain. Paul was at pain because he was in prison, and he was also emotionally pained that the congregation that he had so laboriously established in Philippi was at the verge of breaking down. The Philippians were also going through persecution regarding their practices. I think they were being forced to go through circumcision, and which they really didn't want. And so Philippians also practiced their own prison ministry. They sent to prison where Paul was imprisoned, somewhere in Rome, either Rome or Athens. And they sent a man called Epaphroditus to go, and another one to go and visit Paul, because they were being supported to him, remembering that he's the one who had established the church at Philippi. And Paul also was really supported by the people of Philippi when he was establishing the Christian congregation at Philippi. And so this Epaphroditus goes to Rome to see Paul, and then he falls sick, and then after a while he recovers. And so Paul is writing a letter to the Philippians so that Epaphroditus can deliver this letter to them. And in his letter, he's talking about his imprisonment and although not knowing whether he was going to be free, but he is hopeful, he's encouraging the Philippians. And now, living a life that is reflective of, that is worthy of the gospel, means being unified in Christ. Living like Christ lived, a life that is unified with other believers. And that is the theme of this, that is the subject of today's sermon. And so I will talk about pain. As I read through this scripture and studied it, when I knew I was going to share today, I decided to preach to myself. I preach to myself every day about what this scripture said. And I learned three important lessons, which I am going to share with you. First of all, I'll talk about pain. We go through various amounts of pain. We go through various types of prison experiences. And it really depends on how you go through that pain. It really depends on how you take that pain. While Paul was in pain in prison, he took to writing, he took to encouraging. You can be in prison, and when you come out, I visited a young man in prison one time, and he told me, you know, How you come out of prison depends on you. You can come out either a reformed person or you can come out a worse person. So how you stay in prison and how to you come out depends really on the actions that you take. And so we have many different prison experiences, like Paul was. We face different challenges in our Christian walk with life. And we are called upon to let those experiences reflect the life of the gospel. And it is not easy to do that, because you will face rejection, you will face failures in what you are doing, you'll face failures in your businesses, you'll face failures in your exams, you'll face a lot of challenges, failures at your work, you'll face rejection, you'll face scandals, you'll be scandaled in every way that where you are working, where you are living. You'll face pain of separation with your family as you live. And all this pain can lead you to isolation. But what I want to emphasize, what I learned as I read through this, is that don't waste your pain. Don't waste your pain. Make it count towards the gospel. Don't waste your pain. Pain will come. The person you are sitting next to is either going through pain or has gone through some pain or has just come out of the pain. But don't waste it. Let it count for the gospel. And how do you make it count for the gospel? There's something I learned when I visited South Africa last year, and I went to Robben Island, to where President Mandela was in prison. I saw an inscription written, "Each one, teach one. Each one, teach one." And I learned that in prison, there are so many people with different professions. They are doctors, they are engineers, they are carpenters, they are pastors. They are all professions there. And they are confined in there so that they cannot practice their career, their skills. But they decided that whoever you meet, you are with in prison, teach them what you know so that that knowledge will continue. When you practice a skill, that is when it is enhanced and you don't forget. But when you don't practice it, then you forget it. Whichever prison experience you are going through now, I encourage you to teach someone, to share with somebody. Not everybody will go through the experience you are going through now. Not everybody will go through the jail, the prison you are going through now, the experience you are going through now, the sickness, the rejection, the poverty, the joblessness. Not everybody will go through. But if you have gone through it and you have experienced it, speak to somebody, encourage somebody with that experience. Just the same way as Paul was in prison and he was still reaching out to minister to the Philippian church, to the Philippians, encouraging them to stay strong, to stand strong in the faith and not to lose their faith. Praise the Lord. The second lesson that I learned as I studied this is that beware of the enemy's tactics of divide and rule. Beware of the enemy's tactics of divide and rule. Paul wanted the Philippian church to be united and strong and strive together. You know, the enemy is very cunning, and he knows that once he brings division in the family, in the church, then the church will scatter. I believe strongly that the family is the foundation of the church. And once you destroy the family, you will have destroyed the church. So beware of the cunning of the enemy. And there are many things that he uses in order to bring the family down. Jesus himself knew that the enemy would bring division. And so he prayed. I like the book of John chapter 17. He prayed in John for us, for you and me, those of us who would believe because of the message that would be preached, because we were not there. And he prayed in John 17, 20 to 23. He said, My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. In them, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Brothers and sisters, there are many tactics that the enemy uses to bring division among us. There are two that I will touch on, and that is pride and unforgiveness. Pride can come so easily. You remember Lucifer was brought down because of pride. Pride can come so easily. Very simply, somebody can see you are singing so well, and then they pat you on the back and say, oh, you have done so well. And you really begin to feel good about it. And before you know it, you are filled with pride, and you think you are the only one who can sing, who can do it. You feel that if you are not there, nothing will happen. If you are not there, the choir will not go on. Maybe you are the one who has, when you do something else, you preach or you serve and or you do something better at your workplace, and they pat you on the back and you begin to feel, I'm the only one who can do it. And then pride comes in and the enemy begins to isolate you, begin to make others start to resent you because you feel that you're the only one who can do that particular thing. Beware of pride. And remember, pride comes before a fall. The other thing that the enemy uses so much is the spirit of unforgiveness. Brothers and sisters, as we walk through this life, you are bound to be hurt. Somebody will hurt you. It may be family members, it may be a colleague, it may be a friend, it may be your parents, it may be your children, they will hurt you. But what do you do with the hurt, with the pain? There, Paul was in prison, and he was saying, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What do you do with the pain? It will come. You'll be hurt. Somebody will hurt you, because you cannot stay on an island alone because you are born again. You come to church, somebody will hurt you. And how do you take the pain, the hurt? I have had people or seen people moving churches because somebody in church hurt them. People stop coming to church. They change churches because somebody said something that hurt them. Children move away from home because they feel their parents favor one of their siblings more than them. They move home. Friends stop speaking because somebody said something that hurt them. And what is surprising is that sometimes that friend, what they said, they don't even know that they hurt you. But you are growing in pain and in hurt and in disappointment and in resentment, and you separate yourself. My brother, my sister, unforgiveness can keep you in bondage and can rule over you. Unforgiveness takes power from you. But when you forgive, you take back the power yourself, because you have power to forgive. But when you live in unforgiveness, the enemy rules over you. He rules your life. Because whenever you are somewhere, you see somebody, you begin to think, maybe he knows that person who hurt me, whom I don't want to talk to. And you walk away. And you begin to live in isolation. If that person comes to this church, if they are seated in front, you come and check. You sit behind there. Immediately we say amen, you shoot out because you don't want to meet with them. Unforgiveness, it controls your life. But immediately you forgive, then you are free. And this morning I just want to call upon you. If there's somebody who has hurt you, who has put you in pain, send them a text. It may not be easy to start reconciliation right away, but send them a text. Ask them how they're doing. Begin somewhere. Let there be forgiveness. That is the favorite tactic of the enemy, to divide us, to divide the church. Forgive the person. Forgive your mother. Forgive your father. Forgive your brother. Forgive your sister. Forgive the pastor. Maybe you went through something and you felt the pastors never came to see me. They never reached out to me. Forgive your pastor. Forgive your boss. Maybe you feel he passed you over. Forgive your neighbor. Maybe he does something that annoys you all the time. You have tried to stop them, they don't. Forgive them. And for those who may be in higher level, maybe you are rich, you are the king. Reach out to those whom you have wronged. Be humble. Humble yourself and seek forgiveness. Humble yourself, because you know, you can be humbled through humiliation. Don't wait to be humbled through humiliation. Humble yourself. Hallelujah. The third lesson I learned before I run out of time is that living a life worthy of the gospel requires that you leave your comfort zone. Leave your comfort zone. Okay, it says stand firm, but it does not mean you stand somewhere straight and just remain silent. No, it says stand firm for the gospel. In verse 27 to 30, I will read. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together, one for the faith of the gospel. That is the emphasis. For the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. What does it mean? It means opposition will come. You will be opposed. So the people who become born again, they give their lives to Christ, either here or those watching over online, I'm talking to you all. Being born again does not mean you stand in your own place, in your corner, saying, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to fall in temptation. I don't want to fall in sin. Let me just stay in my corner. Let me just watch church online. No, it means you have to leave your comfort zone for the sake of the gospel. It is missional. It is for the Great Commission. You have to leave your comfort zone and go out there and win souls for Christ. Let your pain count. Let your pain that you have gone through be a springboard for the gospel in the name of Jesus. He says in Ephesians, of course, when you are leaving your comfort zone, you must be armed. You must be prepared. And the same Paul says in Ephesians 6, 10 to 17, we all know this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet guarded with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the devil. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Therefore, you are called to stand and to move out of your comfort zone. I'll tell you something. I like watching soccer, and I watch it only after 4 years. That tells you I watch the World Cup, Coupe Mondial. And when I'm watching, I have noticed something. The football pitch is very wide. And you know, when they start the match, they sing anthems of every country, and then the players greet one another. And then the match starts. But when they are playing on that field, there is no way one player can move with the ball from one side of the pitch to the other one and then and go and score. And the others are just standing by because they greeted one another. No. They will go and oppose him and attack and try to get the ball away from them. Before he gets to score, he has gone through so much. And maybe he's not even the one who will score. They keep passing the ball to one another and opposing one another and attacking one another and going through injury until they score. So as a Christian, don't think that you will just go speak to somebody and tell him, I'm born again. Will you receive Jesus Christ? And then he says, yes, I receive. And you say the sinner's prayer. No. Don't think the life worthy of the gospel is an easy life that you will just get saved and live and then heaven comes and boom, you are in heaven. No. The life of the gospel, you will be opposed, has got opposition. And you have to be ready for that by putting on the full armor of God. Don't stay in one corner. Don't stay in your place, in your comfort zone, saying that me, I cannot there, I'm not called for that. It's not my calling. I call upon you to get up, get out of your comfort zone for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the mission, for the sake of the great commission. Hallelujah. So in summary, three lessons. Don't waste your pain. Beware of the schemes of the devil, especially pride and unforgiveness. And the third one, leave your comfort zone. May the Lord bless you. Amen.